This is Vibe Drop episode 142, and 142 brings one of the longtime great tech content creators to the platform. This man is business AF. I mean, his content almost seems like he might be an actual journalist, but he is one of the best tech content creators. He's here, he's next, he's on Vibe Drop, which starts now. What's up, people? This your boy Viper, the man about tech, and welcome back to another episode of Vibe Drive. This is the podcast about tech, hosted by the man about tech. And today we have a longtime tech content creator, the man with the voice that the ladies might swoon over. He's one of the most smooth content creators in the game. I gotta bring in my man Aaron, Mr. Zolo Tech himself. What's up, bro? How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I am good, man. Thank you for taking the time to join me. I appreciate you.
Sure. Anytime.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about. So, Aaron, first question I ask every first time guest that comes to Vibe Drive, the people need to know, what brought you to YouTube?
This is back in, 2008, I guess now. So,
ooh, wow. Yeah,
2008, I saw a couple, YouTube videos. I saw, what's his name? Carlos. He's no longer around, I don't think. But Carlos, it's me, Morpheus. You ever watch him?
I vaguely am familiar, but never watched him, no.
So I used to watch him. He'd do case unboxings, things like that. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe if he can do this, I can do this. Maybe I'll get some things to try out, and see what I can do. So I was at a tech job watching those videos and then thought, maybe I'll try it. So I got a little Canon PowerShot and the rest is, it led to here. So it's kind of all there is to it, really. And just kept going.
The direct and left it here. I mean, we talking about going from 2008 to 2021. I mean, I know as a high level creator, how much work it takes to stay relevant in this game for over a decade, but you have managed to do that. So congrats to you, man.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. So it's challenging, but it's also a passion. So it's kind of, it's what I'm into. So it's what I do and just kind of made it a thing.
That is such a beautiful thing when you find something that you are absolutely passionate about. And you can take that and make a living off of it. And I think most people would say, if you find something you love, you never work a day in your life, man. And that's so true.
For sure. Yeah. If you're going to a job every day you don't like, and then you switch to something you do like, and it might take years, but once you do it, then you're not really work. It's work, but it's not work. I mean, there's good days and some days that you don't want to do it, but most of the time it's great. You get to see everything new, get to try it out, So for sure. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Now, we were talking before we went live on a podcast that you have an interesting work history. So I didn't notice, but you used to work with or for our boy Andrew Edwards. So talk to us about that.
On the side. Well, a little bit. Yeah. On the side. So he has a website, Gear Live. In fact, I don't know if it's still around. I think it is. But Gear Live, I used to write for it. And I don't know how many articles I did, but I did tech news for him. Years ago, that's probably 2008, 2009, somewhere in that time frame. And so I did that and then kind of had my own website and then turned it into videos and then just kept doing that and pushing it to videos since I kind of saw that as the next thing, something I like to do. And that was it, really. So I started with that. And then that was at, so this whole time for up until about 3 years ago, I worked in IT. I've done healthcare and IT, network operations, all sorts of stuff. So there's a lot of other things in there too, but a lot of it I did at the same time as I did this until I got big enough where I didn't have to.
I mean, that's the thing. Most of us up and coming content creators, we have 9-to-5 jobs that we work with on the side as alongside when we're doing YouTube. So I can definitely understand you having your regular job and still doing YouTube. And like you said, you did it until you became big enough where you could just cast that stuff off to the side. And now you are a full-time tech content creator.
Yeah. It's funny when people ask you what you do, you're not sure how to say that, especially because I'm, I guess, one of the older ones. So, there's that and I have a family and everything else. So when I first started it, I was going to school full time, which I didn't finish, but I went to school full time, worked full time and did YouTube. So I was doing all those things at once, as best I could. And then kind of as one fell off, I could do more into others. And, you know, it's kind of crazy what led to it.
For those of y'all listening on audio only, I find it hilarious that he said he's one of the older ones because this dude has a baby face. He has an absolute baby face. What are you talking about? What are you, like 25, 26? Stop it, Aaron. Come on.
It's all my gray hair. It's over 40.
What? Yeah. No way. Over, oh, whatever. I don't know about it. I'm carding you, Aaron. I'm carding you. Man, so I have made a comment before we went live here. Watching your content, it is evidently apparent to me that you have some type of journalistic background because the way that you present technology, it's just so smooth and polished. And when you told me that you used to write for Gear Live, I'm like, it makes perfect sense.
So, yeah, well, yeah. So I did that. I used to do, I never worked as a journalist, but I did network operations, like I said, and I used to have to write reports for executives and things like that based on, well, if I don't want to go too far into it, outages for major networks. So cable networks, not TV, but rather internet, huge interconnects across the country, things like that. So if something went wrong, I'd have to write a report, put it all together. And it's similar to kind of what I do now, you know, what's new with an iOS update, put it in the right order, make it go together well, you know, and then so I can present it like I was, I guess, presenting it to an executive or whatever, but, you know, just so that you can better understand it. So I did that. I've done technical writing. I've done some healthcare stuff, you know, so all of that and working with executive sort of reports and things like that really is what led to, you know, writing plus writing with Andrew and things like that. So it's kind of all into one big thing. And, you know, all that experience helps for sure.
Absolutely. So let's dig a little bit deeper into that. So obviously you are and have been a writer. You just mentioned that you did technical writing and you, I think you write for your video. So talk about writing, like doing technical writing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're shaking your head. So you don't do script for your video.
I do notes, outlines.
Note. Okay. All right. So let me rephrase that. You used to do technical writing, but then you do like journalistic writing for like Gear Live and things like that. Yeah, so talk about the difference between technical writing and writing for like a technical publication like Gear Live, because I think as a writer for like a tech publication, what your objective is to try to relay technology to the average consumer because they are the ones who are reading and consuming your content. So writing technically, like actually technical writing, is vastly different than writing for a tech publication. So talk about that difference.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so to be fair, I didn't do the Gear Live thing for a hugely long time, but I've done my own site too for a couple of years after that too. So yes, it's exactly. So one side of it is explaining whether or not it's complicated or not, but explaining something that's understandable. And that's always kind of been my thing is how can I take something that's super complex and make it understandable, but also respect people that know what they're talking about, you know? So that's kind of the trick. So you want to be technical enough so that, you know, you're not going down to the very basics, but you also want to be enough so that it gives you an idea what's going on. So with technical writing, a lot of the time you're speaking to an audience that already knows all the technical terms. With the other side of that, you're not. So you're writing for a website, or whether that be mine or Gear Live or whatever, but you're writing for a website and you're explaining, or my notes, for example, I'll break down things that say Apple says and try and condense that into something more simple. So, it's not because I don't want to be super technical. It's more that when I talk to friends that don't really know, for example, that's kind of how you want to tell them. So it's the same sort of thing. So it's how can this be helpful to everyone, you know, but I don't need to go into this is how you turn on your phone, you know, that sort of thing.
Definitely. So let's talk about transitioning that into video, because obviously writing is different from making video. So how do you transition like writing for like your website, your tech publication, to taking that content and kind of transitioning it into video form? Because obviously, as we know, trying to do things on video is a lot different because sometimes we're on camera, sometimes we're not on camera, but when you have products on camera and you're trying to explain products, there's a lot more visual cues and cadences that you have to be aware of and try to relate to your audience through watching in video form. So just talk about the difference between writing and then actually doing video content.
So the writing helps because if you read back out loud what you're writing and you want to make sure it sounds good. If I'm talking to you, I don't want to sound like a robot, but I also want it to sound, you know, like me and you are talking. So the other thing is with video, you want to show, at least for me anyway, you want to show enough of what you're talking about that it explains what you're talking about. So as simple as if you're doing a review of a new iPhone and what it looks like, here's the speakers, here's the microphone, they're asymmetric. Well, show that while you're talking about it. You know, it's, so it's sort of a, it's one of those things where I want to, I'm very visual, so I want to see exactly what I'm talking about. So it's that sort of thing. So there's, I think there's a happy balance or a good balance rather between when you're on camera versus when you're not. And I'm in, typically I'm, you know, not on camera, and I haven't been for a long time. I have more recently, but I have over the years, but it's sort of increased. But I also like to, if it's real simple, you know, I show what I'm talking about and that's it. You know, I think that's, I'm not, I guess unlike some, I'm not really like a cinematographer. I'm more of a teacher, I suppose. So yeah. That's kind of how I think of myself, is I want to teach or help you figure out what you're doing, you know, or do it better, whatever.
When I broadcast on Twitter that I was going to have you on a podcast, somebody had answered the tweet that you are the person that they go to for firmware updates and things like that, because you are so good at explaining what changing from update to update. So you are definitely one of the top in the class when it comes to explaining to the average person what changes are made when their phone gets updated. So,
yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, I've done some of that too in jobs I've worked in, taught some people, not a ton, but taught some people, you know, how to do things. Oh, and that's where the IT, I did tech support for years. Mm-hmm. So again, you have to explain to someone. So this goes back. So the first IT job was helping people set up their dial-up internet. That's the very first IT thing I ever did. That,
wow. You know,
that's 2000. No, 1997,
98. Yeah, that's
3000. Yep, and that's how I got into Mac too, is we had a Mac there. No one wanted to learn how to use it. They thought it was dumb, and I said, well, I'll do it. I've never used one. Let me have it. So, and then I figured it out and was teaching. I was the guy that if you needed to set up your Mac, I'm the guy you go to. So it kind of just went from there. So, but I mean, I've been into that since I was a kid, but that was my first paid job anyway.
That is awesome, man. Like I said, you are very, very good at what you do. I love just sitting back, relaxing, and watching your content. Well, it's like I said in the intro, you are, and it's like I said in my introduction, you are just so smooth with it. Oh. And it's just a special aura that you have about the way you present content. Obviously, you know what you're talking about because you're very technically savvy. You're brilliant, but your content is easy to consume because you come across like, I don't want to say regular because that'll be an insult to you and how you do content, but the way that you present tech is almost like, I don't know. It's like having McDonald's versus having Olive Garden. when consuming your videos, it's like going to having a night at Olive Garden. So I that's probably the best way I can like relate it.
I don't know if that's good. Some people don't like Olive Garden. So
well, in this case, it's good. It is good.
Okay. All right. So yeah. And I think just years of, it's really just years of IT. So, I mean, that's, you know, you have to learn to explain how things work and how to set things up, everything from the simplest, you know, dial-up internet to advanced networking, things like that. So
I completely understand because I myself work in IT. So I know how you have to take like complex technical things that are happening and explain them to people who don't have a monkey's nipple clue what you're talking about. But you, if they're like, well, what happened? Well, why did that happen? And you have to tell them in non-technical term why their computer did this. And so I completely understand. But like I said, you do it so excellently on video, man. So I love watching your content. So thank you again for taking the time to join me tonight, man. I appreciate you.
Sure.
So let's talk about a recent transition you made with your video content. Uh-huh. For the longest time, you did videos and you did not put your face in the video. But I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, you made a transition to putting your face on camera. Mm-hmm. So I guess let's start with, why did you start out not putting your face on camera?
It was easier. I mean, really, that's the start. Is I, you know, when I started, I wasn't into cameras. I was into computers and video games and cars. So, you know, I had to learn all the camera stuff. So I started with a little PowerShot, you know, moved my way up to what I'm using now. And then, you know, learned, you know, I knew nothing about exposure and all that stuff back then. So I moved to where I am now, and I'm still learning all the time. And I think with the overhead stuff, it was easier, like I said, plus it was limited time. So, you know, working a normal job, you know, editing takes a long time. So if you're doing, whether that's multicam editing or you got to do multiple takes or whatever, it takes a while. So I think that's probably the main reason. And then some of it is I was, you know, not comfortable. I still am not that comfortable in front of it. It takes me a little bit. I told you before this that, you know, give me a few minutes, I'll get comfortable with it, and then I'll be fine. So the beginning of this podcast or whatever is, or live is live stream is kind of probably, you'll see my face flush red because that's just what happened. So it's one of those things where I've heard people that have been in front of people on stage for years, same thing, you know, it's kind of, right. I guess it's just a thing, you get used to it and then you go, you know. So I think, so the first thing is I just did it because it's easy. And then I was unsure of myself. And then I thought, well, maybe I should connect a little bit better, had some advice from others to do that. And then people would comment and say they liked it. So, you know, plus it gives a connection to who I am. You'd always see in my video comparisons, people would say there's a face reveal at, you know, 12 minutes and 30 seconds. So, I was like, oh, maybe I should do it more. So I did.
All right. So let's talk about that then. So like I said, about 2 or 3 years ago, you kind of transitioned to putting your faith more on camera. You were in front of the camera. So talk about what led to that transition, you going faithless to finally putting your faith in front of the camera.
Well, I mean, some of it, like I said, is advice from other creators, some people, and that's Andrew Edwards is who I'm talking about. So, you know, he said, be in front of the camera more or something. You know, I was like, I don't know, you know, let me think about it. You know, so I did that. And then, I mean, I still don't do it all the time, but I if it's a product on thing, you know, something bigger, I try to do it more, but not all the time, just because it depends on what the content is. Mm-hmm. So if it's an iOS update, you know, not always, but you know, like if it's AirPods Max or something, I was in front of the camera on that one. So, you know, so there's those. So I just think it helps connect. It brings personality, but I've never been one to be like, you know, I need everybody to know who I am. It's interesting when people do, but you know, I never have thought of it that way. I just wanted to kind of make videos to help people and, you know, help them figure out what product to buy or what's new in an update, you know?
So let's piggyback off of that real quick. Because you have been putting your faith on camera a little bit more. Have you ever been recognized in public?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Not like everywhere.
Right.
Not Marquez or anything. So, usually the local Apple store, there'll be somebody. Mm. Yeah. So there's a couple Apple stores I live in the Charlotte area. There's a couple Apple stores in this area. If I go to those Apple stores, usually it's rare if someone doesn't say hello, come over and say hello. And sometimes the last time I went, it was also not just, and those are Apple employees I'm talking about, just that work in the store, but there's also some that, you know, we're in line. Cause have you seen the new stores where they have sort of, you know, we've all wearing masks and stuff. So, you know, you're in line and waiting to the next go yep. next. So I had someone, you know, say, hey, you know, and so I talked to him for a little bit and then that was it. So not too much, I did have someone recognize me in a grocery store once. Right. So, but not really, that's about it. Not really that much.
Nice.
Every few months if I'm in an Apple store, really.
that which makes sense because you make a lot of Apple content. So that definitely makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Shout out to those of y'all who are listening on audio only. Thank you for listening to another episode of Bipe Job with me and my man Aaron from Dolo Tech. He is definitely legit. If you want to go check out his YouTube content, his tech content, which you should, his channel link will be in the show notes below. Definitely go check him out. You will not be sorry. He makes amazing, amazing content. If you guys want to support the podcast, there should also be a Buy Me a Coffee link down in the show notes. It is not required, but anything that you're willing to contribute, greatly, greatly appreciate it as always. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review as to help more people discover the podcast, get the podcast out there more into the podcast universe. So if you do happen to be listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, please leave that rating or review. And thank you for listening to another episode of Bipe Dry. So, Aaron, you are approaching a epic YouTube milestone, which will occur in 2021. So I ask everybody these questions when I know they're close to a milestone. Yeah. So at some point in 2021, you will eclipse 1 million subscribers on YouTube. So I gotta know, Aaron, do you have a plan? Do you have a special plan for the occasion?
I don't.
What? What are you talking about, Aaron? Come on, man.
I should. I know. I'll have to come up with something, I guess. I don't know.
Man, if I ask you the question again, you give me that answer, we got a problem there.
That's the same. My wife probably has some idea. I don't know. She's probably already planning something, knowing her. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to figure out something. I don't want to do something everybody does. So, you know.
I'm sure you will figure it out, man. I'm sure you will figure it out.
Yeah.
So when you started back at 2008, did you ever think you would get this far?
No, like I told you, it's the Carlos, it's me Morpheus. If you look him up, he's still on there. He passed away. So that's why I said he wasn't around anyway. So he, it was sort of, I think myself and Quinn Nelson, Quinn Snazzy, you know, Snazzy Labs. Snazzy, I think he was also someone that inspired him back then. So I think, I don't know. I think, back then I saw him, I think like hit 6,000 subscribers and then 16 and then 50. And I was like, this is unbelievable. And I never thought I'd be anywhere. You know, when I hit 200, I thought, how is this even possible? You know, so to get close to a million, I mean, it should happen this year, you know, if things continue the way they do. So yeah.
Hey, like I said, you better figure it out, because it'll come quicker than you know, man. It'll come quicker than you know.
Thank you.
So, let's talk some tech, obviously, because we both make tech content. So let's talk some tech. We both have the Apple AirPod Max. I don't want to harp on this too much because I've harped on this before on these live streams. But I'm just curious, have you ran into the condensation issue I've ran into?
No, I actually had made a point. I have them right here. So I had made a point to look, and I forgot. So I meant to actually look at them and see if there was actually that condensation issue. And I haven't seen it, but that's one thing I wanted to ask you is how long did you notice it after, you know, wearing them? Cause I'll wear them for a couple hours sometimes for sure.
Yeah. So very, definitely after extended periods of use, it always shows up for me. I mean, I had an issue where I was only wearing from like maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes, and it showed up. So for me, it didn't take that long, but I think it's going to vary by person, but it doesn't take much.
Not working out or anything. Just
no, just sitting down watching content. And when I'm at work in the office, I'm wearing them just watching YouTube and things like that and just doing nothing. And it's still, you know, the moisture from the human skin, just like it just messing with them.
And then my other thing on that do people experience that with other headphones, like these headphones? I don't know. I haven't looked. So
that is the $1 million question. Now, there is a such thing as ear sweat, and that does happen in other headphones as well. So there's definitely some type of something to it. This is something that might have occurred with other headphones, just because we don't have the ability to open them up and check the ear cup. But I think it may be. But my thing, Aaron, is that this should have never made it out of Apple's R&D. You were talking about one of the most like fanatically detail oriented companies on planet Earth. How did they not check this in R&D? How did it ever make it out of R&D, Aaron? I just don't understand that.
Well, I don't. So I guess the thing I'd want to know. So that's going back to the technical thing. I always wonder, you know, is that, like I said, is that a normal thing? I don't know. We can't really look behind the ear cups of these. These are Sennheisers, but you know, we can't really look. These are more vented though, too. So maybe, you know, maybe that's the thing. These don't seem, the AirPods don't seem as vented. So yeah, I guess first of all, I'd want to know, is it a thing or not? And if it isn't, then I think Jason from, said it's not. He said it's not a thing. So he tests more headphones than I do. So I guess so. So yeah, if that's a thing, well then hopefully Apple thought of that, or they're going to have to do a recall.
I'm with you on that one. There will need to be a recall, because there's really no way to fix it. It's an inherent design flaw. Like I said, I don't know how I ever made it out of Apple's R&D, but they will have to recall them, I think, at some point, because the condensation ain't going to end up messing up the headphones over a long period of time. And that's just, they're way too expensive to be going through that.
And they're not IP rated or anything.
Exactly. So,
yeah, if it's a thing, then, well, hopefully they fix it, I guess.
Hopefully. But let's stick with Apple, because I have another interesting Apple tidbit to talk to you about. Okay. And I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going with this. But if you don't, we got to talk about Apple removing the charger in the box on last year's iPhone 12 model. Curious to get your thoughts on this.
So I understand their reasoning for it. I don't think it was the right move yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if everyone had USB-C to USB-C or USB-C to Lightning rather, then sure, that's fine. You know, like if, it, but we don't, we went from the little 5-watt adapter that was USB-A to Lightning. And then now we're at, you know, if you bought an iPhone 11 series phone or 11 Pro series phone, you have the 20 or 18 watt adapter with USB-C to Lightning. So otherwise you're going to have to buy that connector, or you've got one of the new iPads that comes with it, like the Air and things come with that. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you're not going to have one. So I think they should have given it one or two more years. And unless maybe there was, so the only other thing I was thinking about this when that happened is maybe there was a supply issue and they said, well, let's just do it now and get rid of it.
No, I don't know if I can chalk it up to a supply issue. That's not a move that you make just because you have a supply issue. I mean, I think that's something that was planned out long in advance.
Right.
And like you're saying, like, here's the thing. So the people who are defending this are saying, oh, you got chargers laying around the house, blah, blah, blah. And that's some of that is true. But
not everybody. Yeah.
Not everybody, you're right, but they included a USB-C to Lightning cable in the box, mm-hmm. which is incompatible with the 5-watt chargers that we have laying around. Right. So unless you bought an iPhone 11 Pro last year with mm-hmm. the new 18-watt fast charger, which does have USB Type-C, the cable that comes with the iPhone 12 is incompatible with all the older Apple chargers, so that argument is already moot.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, plug it in into a MacBook. That doesn't work for me either. No. 'Cause who puts their MacBook by their bed or wherever you're charging it, you know? So, yeah. I mean, maybe some people do, I don't, but, I usually use wireless charging or whatever at night, but the thing is for me, it's not a big deal. I still think there should have been included in the box. And if you want to be environmentally friendly and you don't need it, get this one, at least for a year or two, something like that. 'Cause it costs, I think, what are these, $19 now?
Yep,
something like that. So, check a box, I need one, you know, something like that. Because, and some people lost theirs, their dog chewed on it, you know, or whatever. I don't know. So, you know, they, if you need one, you need one, or they could use an extra, especially this type, and then recycle your old one, or give us your old one, we'll give you a new one. I don't know, whatever. Just, I don't think it was the right move yet, maybe later, but
yeah. I definitely think it was premature to remove the charger from the box. Not everybody who buys an iPhone this year will have charging lying around. So I believe that you're doing them a disservice having them go to your website and have to pay an additional $20 just so they can have a charger in the box. And the other crazy thing, Aaron, is that the chargers that they are selling this year, the MagSafe charger and the MagSafe Duo, mm-hmm. none of them come with a charging brick, which is kind of crazy. How does the actual charger not come with a charging brick? Like, what? What is this? I don't
understand. Yeah, so the... I don't get that, but the HomePod Mini does. So I was right? And the HomePod Mini is cheaper than, well, the phones and a lot of other things. So yeah, it doesn't make, that's why I said, I don't know. That seems kind of weird from like a logistic standpoint with maybe shortages thing. I don't know. That's what I try to give them some benefit, but I think it would have been better for them to give people plugs first, at least.
Me too. I agree with you, man. So speaking of Apple and chargers and things like that, Aaron, there have been a lot of reports that this year Apple is going to potentially release the first portless iPhone. Mm-hmm. As you just highlighted, I'm going to echo your sentiments. We are not ready for a portless iPhone, but I'm interested to get your thoughts on a potential portless iPhone.
So for me personally, as long as you give me another way that if I need to reset it and it's locked up, I'm okay with it. But there's got to be something in place other than what we have now. So, you know, MagSafe has NFC and it also has a magnetometer so that you can, it knows what it's connected to. So it's using that, you know, to know whatever the magnetic signal or magnetic field is. And then also NFC to say, hey, I'm a blue iPhone 12 Pro case. You know what I mean? And that's how you get the blue on the screen. So with all that, I think, you know, there's some technology there to do something other than let me know I've got a blue case that I already know is blue. So, you know, so it's one of those things where it's a nice touch, but I'd be curious what people think of it, because for me, a port isn't that big of a deal because I never use it. unless I have a problem with the phone. So what's the workaround when there's a problem with the phone?
Yeah,
that's more my issue, is because your average person that doesn't have computers, maybe they only have a phone and an iPad. I see that a lot, actually. Or maybe they have an old computer and they've only got that cable, and that's fine. So yeah, it's not going to work for everybody right away by any means. So I'm okay with it if you have, like, if MagSafe all of a sudden turns into that, that it's a port, but because it's one less physical thing to go wrong. I see it, and then it's less area for water to intrude. But other than that, I don't, it's got to be a pro thing or something. I don't know, for at least for a while.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Number one, we have to have a way to troubleshoot the device if they choose to go completely portless. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you what cannot be a solution: sending it off to Apple. No, right. No. No, I don't want to hear we got to send it away. Nobody is sending their damn smartphone away for like 2 or 3 weeks. That's just not feasible. So if you can't release a portless iPhone with a way for the user to be able to troubleshoot it themselves, and they have to send it away, you've already failed. The other thing that I kind of think about, Aaron, is the rate of charge. Right now, it's kind of impractical right now to use your phone while it's wirelessly charging. And a lot of us do use our phone while they're charging. So right now, wireless charging rates are pretty slow. I mean, even the fast wireless charging is not that fast. So is there a way that we can use the phone while it's wirelessly charging? I don't know. It's nothing really good that's out there right now. So that's another potential issue.
Yeah, I think, wasn't it? So Oppo or OnePlus did one that fast wireless charges, that real fast, but they actually split the battery into two parts so they can push power real quick, I think is what they're doing. But I have a different situation. I'm in an office. I can just, you know, plug it in or put it on a charger. And no, you sending it in, you know, unless you have an extra phone, but no one wants to go back to their old phone, and they might not even have an old phone. So,
right,
you know, unless you review phones like we do, you only have one. So, you know, yeah, I agree with you. I don't I don't ever think sending it is good, because then also if you get a million people sending in your phone, and I know people already have issues with that, with you know, overseas that don't have Apple stores. But it's sort of, that reminded me when you were saying that about the watch. So the Apple watch, I had an uncle that his watch couldn't reset. He tried to update it, wouldn't work right. I took it, tried to fix it, couldn't do it. And we had to send it in. You know, there's no way around it. There's a kind of a workaround where you can buy something off eBay to plug into the tiny little port on it, and that's just a mess. So, you know, it's you have to, like, you can't downgrade an Apple Watch. You can't, if it fails upgrading, you got to send it in, or at least bring it to an Apple store and hope they can send it in to fix it. And, you know, it took 2 weeks and he got it. So yeah, that's not a good solution.
No, that is definitely not practical, especially for people that are on the go.
Right.
Okay, so we've been talking about Apple a lot, but I'm gonna transition away from Apple for a little bit, but then I'm gonna come back. Okay. Obviously, you cover more content than Apple. You cover Google, Samsung, and things like that. Mm-hmm. This week at CES, oddly enough, but it's also Samsung's very first Unpacked event at the end of the week. Mm-hmm. I personally am not that excited for the S21 line of phones, because I've been using the Galaxy Fold 2 since it launched in September of last year. And I just can't go back to using a non-Fold Samsung device. The Fold is amazing. So I'm curious, are you interested in the S21 line of phones that are coming at the end of the week? What is your interest level?
So, yes and no. I think the S20... So, first of all, let me talk about the Fold a little bit.
Okay.
I had a Fold. It wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It's just not for... I didn't see, like, an advantage to it for me. Okay. Because I'm kind of someone that uses... I use my iPhone and then I switch to an iPad. It's really kind of... If I'm not editing videos, that's what I'm doing. Right. And I like the big iPad. So, yep. So I kind of just do that. So for me to have something in between, it kind of felt like, you know, watching videos on it's great. The screen is great. But for me, that didn't work. But that's, you know, that's something else. And, you know, we'll see in the future. I'll try it again. So... the S21 though, the S20, I guess we already kind of know what it looks like anyway, but if they take the camera system that's in the Note where they fix the autofocus, you know, maybe address a few other little things. I'm not terribly interested. And I think isn't it a month earlier than last year?
Something
like that. Yeah. So it might be a little too early for people that just bought one last year. Or they got one in the summer, but I'm interested just to see what it is. But other than that, I mean, it's just another S20. It's a little fast, just like iPhones. You know, they're kind of, they're small and incremental now. And I think it's interesting to see where people are going with folding phones, like, you know, Microsoft, Samsung, maybe Apple eventually. But yeah, so it's a long answer to your simple question. Yeah, no, not that much.
Now, when you were discussing that, I detected a little a lowering or reduction of tone in your voice. So that reduction of tone indicates to me that you are losing interest in the regular candy bar smartphones. Am I correct in my assumption, Mr. Zolotech?
Yeah. So they're kind of all the same. It's just so, you know, better cameras, faster processors, longer battery. You know, that's really the next iPhone. If you had a battery that lasts 2 days, you know, I mean, like an 8,000 milliamp hour battery, something lasts 2 days, that's, you'd make everyone happy, I think, or at least the majority of consumers. Anyway, not everybody, but most people, I think. That's really what I hear. That's the number one thing I hear. How can I get better battery, or Apple needs to fix the battery?
Which is interesting, because we have been dealing with this lithium ion battery tech for over a decade at this point. And battery, like, you, as you know, Aaron, technology moves at the speed of light. It's currently something, there's constantly new technology on the horizon every other week. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, Aaron, battery technology is stuck in the mud. It's like stuck in molasses. It just does not go anywhere. Why do you think that is?
I look at some of that stuff, and I've seen some other people, you know, claim they have better batteries and graphene batteries and supercapacitors. I look into all that stuff. So, especially cause I'm into cars and all cars, but I, you know, electric cars and things too. So, some of it's probably bringing it to market and the producing them, I think. But you know, I don't know. I mean, there's, unless we discover a new material, I guess it's going to be so if we go back to this 1909, there was a car called a Baker Electric, and they used batteries, and they claimed they were going to use alkaline batteries, which are amazing, and they would last all these things. Thomas Edison was saying this, and they just never turned into what he thought, you know. So it's kind of like we've been pushing for this for so long, and they're getting better and more energy dense, but it just seems like it takes a while. I don't know. Hopefully with the big push with electric cars now, you know, someone will come up with something. I don't know.
I sure hope so. It's funny because I did a video a few years ago on graphene, which was only the new up and coming battery tech, but we have seen nothing in the mainstream market relating to graphene, however you pronounce it. But that was supposed to be the next great battery tech. I think Samsung was supposedly working on it, but again, here we are in 2021, and I did that video 2 years ago, and we have still seen no, like, really major developments on the graphene battery. So I don't know what's going on with it, but hopefully they're still working on it, because it would be nice to have some type of new battery tech, because lithium ion is way past its prime.
Yeah, you can bet anyone's working on, or tons of people are working on them, because whoever figures it out is going to be incredibly wealthy. Yeah.
Much cha-ching, cha-ching.
So, you know, from everything from a car to your phone, you know, everything's got a battery in it. So if you can figure out one that lasts longer, or even if it lasts the same, but you can charge it in 30 seconds,
right,
you know, that would be okay too. So
that would definitely be okay. So, Aaron, we are in 2021. Again, if we can see, yeah, but there's always some new exciting technologies on the rise. So what do you see, or I guess the better question is, what would you like to see technology-wise here in 2021? What are you looking forward to?
So, you know, I haven't even thought about it. So outside of what we're doing, I've been looking at a lot of car stuff lately. So I think in video games, working on all sorts of stuff like that. So I think technology wise, I don't know. The first thing I'm looking forward to is a new iMac or something like that. Because Apple's M1, I mean, it's so fast now. Do you use one?
I don't. Right.
Okay. No. So if you use an M1 MacBook or whatever, it's ridiculous how fast it is. And that's not even their Pro line.
Right.
So, you know, so that's one thing. That's not like a huge leap as far as something different, but it'll be interesting to see where it goes. And then to see Intel follow, and, you know, maybe AMD, I don't know. So maybe that. And then I was looking at televisions, mini LED or micro LED is what I want to see, but I think someone just showed one off. I think Samsung that showed another one off. They showed, were you at CES last year?
I would not know. Never okay. been.
Oh, never?
Never.
Oh, I thought you had all those pictures and stuff. Weird. So yeah, so they showed micro LED last year. Samsung had a big panel there, and that's sort of what comes after OLED, you know. So it's you can shut the pixels off, they're dark, they're self-illuminating. So that's sort of one thing I want to see. Better batteries, I hope. And then, you know, the M1's sort of the thing I've been looking at next, but I kind of lately I've just been trying to wind down because this end of the year was such a crazy push. Not to mention everything else going on. It's one of those things where I just kind of January, February kind of slows down and then we pick right back up. So mid-January with Samsung, I guess we'll pick back
up. Yeah, I'm about to say, I don't know, man. Samsung is right around the corner at the end of the week, though. I mean, usually, like you said, as far as tech creation and tech content goes in January, it's usually a downtime, but Samsung's like, no.
Yeah, we used to have Macworld, but that's not here. So
yeah, that's not here anymore. But Samsung Unpacked, it's on the 14th, which is in a few days. So that's funny. I don't know what they're going to do about Mobile World Congress, which is normally around February, but obviously there's not going to be a physical in-person event, so I'm curious if they're going to do a digital one like CES is doing, but I don't know. It should be interesting.
Yeah, I hope so, because that's where, you know, we don't see at CES, we see there, and then right. The rest trickle out through the year. But yeah, what tech are you looking forward to? What I miss?
what is Viper looking forward to in 2021? Well, I hope, I don't really care about it that much, but I hope for the tech nerd's sake that they get a iPhone 13 with a 120 hertz refresh rate so they can shut the hell up about it. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of them hearing them chirping all the time about it. So hopefully they get that so they can shut up. actually, I am looking forward to the possibility of a Galaxy Fold 3 with F Pen support. Oh. That would be biblical.
Yeah.
The rumors are pointing that we're going to get that, but we always get a lot of rumors in this industry. So I'm not believing anything until I actually see it. So.
Is the Fold your main phone? Like, is that your...
No, my main phone is my iPhone 12 Pro Max. Obviously, me being the captain of Team Apple, but the Fold 2 is my secondary device. I love that Fold 2.
Yeah, I do the same thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
12 Pro Max and then, Pixel 5 right now.
So help me out with something, Aaron. Help me out with the accuracy of this next statement.
Okay.
Every techie or every tech content creator has an iPhone. Even the high, even the major Android creator, they got iPhones, don't they, Aaron?
I would think so. I'd be surprised if you don't.
Yeah. Some of them try to play it off like they don't.
Yeah. I mean, even if they don't use it as their main phone, they probably have one.
They got an iPhone.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's possible to be like a tech creator and not have an iPhone, because you can't really talk about iPhone if you never experienced iPhone. You can't really talk about Android if you never experienced Android. So if you are a tech creator and you actually want to be grilled at your craft, you have to have experience using both OS. And so they got iPhone.
Yeah. So that's, exactly. So for me, you know, you do IT, you said, so I want to know how it all works so that if I want to compare them or I need to help somebody figure out something, I know how to do it. So
exactly.
Yeah. It's just kind of what I've done forever. So, you know,
and you can't do that unless you have experience using everything.
Right. Xbox, PS5, same thing.
Exactly. Ooh, so do you have both of those, Xbox and PS5?
I don't have a PS5 yet. I should soon, I think, but we'll see. So I was able to get an Xbox Series X from Walmart. Nice. Yeah, I don't know. I saw it went live. I was like, oh, let me try and get this. And I did. So that was good. And I play Xbox more just because that's kind of what I've done from the beginning. And everyone I know that play, like my brother's on there and I have a bunch of other friends I play online with on Xbox a lot.
Okay. So your job right now in the private chat that we have on StreamYard is to give me your gamer tag. Because I have an Xbox, as you know, but I don't have your gamer tag.
All right. Where do I do? Oh, over here. Yeah.
That's a private chat thing that you can write it in there. So why are we doing
it? I was an Xbox beta tester. Xbox Live beta tester.
I used to be too, way back in the day around the original Xbox. I used to do that too.
Yeah, so that's my name is four. It's four letters.
What? How the hell did you pull that off? That is amazing. Wow. That is like the simplest thing I've ever seen in my life. That is wow. You got lucky with that one. My goodness. Man. So let's talk about Xbox real quick. How are you liking the Series X? Because I love mine. I play it more Xbox myself too.
Oh, do you? Okay. So I think I need a better TV. So
yeah.
So I have a Sony TV, but it doesn't do 120 hertz, but it's HDR, so it's fine. Whatever. I don't have the 120 hertz gaming TV thing. But it's good. I love how quick everything loads on it. It still has the normal bugs where I have to restart programs and stuff, but I think that's more like Call of Duty and those programs crash. And when I see other people talking about it on PS5 too, so
yep.
Having problems with it. So I think that's more PS5 or Call of Duty or, you know, whatever. I mostly play that Battlefield and Forza.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you play a game called A Kingdom for Keefling?
That's my wife. Ah, okay. she plays that. Yeah.
I'm like, do I have the right person here?
No, that's me. Yeah, she plays that all the time. I don't know. It's an old game, but you know, whatever.
I will tell you, Aaron, the one thing I love about the Xbox Series X is quick resume. I don't know how much you use it, mm-hmm. but quick resume is life-changing.
Yep. As you turn it on, it's there. Yep. It's so much better.
I mean, going from game to game, like with the quickness and efficiency, the quick resume, oh boy.
It's PS5. I haven't used the PS5. I've watched some stuff on it, but hopefully it's quick. I don't know if it's that quick, but
it doesn't have quick resume. I mean, the PS5 is an overall system. It's faster. It downloads games definitely faster than the Xbox, but PS5 does not have quick resume. Quick resume is just, it's literally next generation gaming. It's lovely.
Okay. I knew it resumed fast. Because it has that SSD. So I knew it loaded fast. I knew it didn't have quick resume, but I, you know, haven't played with one.
Yeah,
I've actually never even seen one in person.
Yeah, the PlayStation 5 definitely has the faster SSD, and it shows when you like load up games and when you download games on it, it's uber fast. But like I said, nothing is messing with Xbox Series X and quick resume. It's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, I that and Battlefield 5 I've been playing. Well, I played that earlier today. So
Battlefield 5, okay. Okay.
Yesterday, yeah.
I haven't touched my Xbox or PlayStation in a while because I've been more focused on making content. But when I was playing, I was rocking with Cyberpunk and NHL 21. I was playing a lot of hockey on it too, though.
Oh, I haven't played Cyberpunk yet. So I saw everybody had issues with it, and then I was like, I'm not that much into RPGs. So it was like, if everybody's having issues, I'll wait a little bit.
Yeah. It played pretty well on the Series X, but if you have a Xbox One or a PS4, then it's just unplayable from what I hear.
Huh.
It's just not a good look. It was so bad, Aaron, that Sony and Microsoft pulled them out of the store. Like, pulled them. Like, yanked it. Like, get out of there. Crazy.
I saw that with PlayStation. I didn't know that with their Xbox, too. But, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe Microsoft didn't pull it. I thought they did. But I think I know Microsoft's issuing refunds toward, too, though. So, yeah, it's been a complete debacle, for real.
That's too bad.
So, I have an interesting question for you, I should say. Like I said earlier, I want to go back into Apple a little bit. So, I kind of posed the question on Twitter. I'm kind of interested to get your thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. So Apple has been around for over 40 years, and they're one of the top, they are the top tech company, top tech brand out there. So do you, Aaron, do you believe that Apple is more of a technology company, or do you believe they're more of a lifestyle brand, or you believe maybe they're somewhere in the middle?
You asked this on Twitter the other day.
You pay attention. You pay attention. Yeah.
So I think they're in the middle somewhere, really. It depends on which product we're talking about. So if you're talking about, you know, a Mac, that's the technology product, you know. So an iPhone is, but it's somewhere in the middle because some people see it as a status symbol. Some people don't. Depends where you're from. Some people, you know, just want a phone that works. So I guess it really depends who you ask. But with like the original Apple Watch edition, the first one, the gold mm-hmm. one, you know, I think stuff like that's more on the lifestyle side, because I don't know anybody that's paying 20 grand for a rose gold. I mean, somebody did, but you know, rose gold Apple Watch. So, you know, that's a more of a lifestyle thing, because if you're swapping an Apple Watch every year, why would you do that? You know, or every 2 years.
Right.
So gold, I don't think is worth that much. I mean, maybe it is now, but I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm talking about more of like as a brand and in its totality. When we think about Apple, I personally think that they are gone far beyond just a technology company. They are an actual lifestyle brand, in my opinion. I mean, when you used to go to Starbucks and people were like pull up with their glowing Mac logos and things like that, mm-hmm. or now people who have an iPhone, if you try to join a tech conversation and you got that green bubble, you're a problem. Like, Like Apple has transcended, and they have literally transcended the technology company like cliche realm per se, because they are literally ingrained into our lifestyle. I mean, like you said earlier, they were selling a $17,000 gold Apple Watch, the very first edition. $17,000 watch Apple sold back in the day. Craziness, just absolute craziness. You even talked about how the iPhone have become a status symbol. I mean, hell, Apple products as a whole have become status symbol for the most part. So I definitely think that the brand itself have, they have kind of transformed the brand into something greatly beyond just a technology company. And I don't know if they're slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, and if they do the car, if they actually do the car thing, I think they just look at, so if this is what they used to do, is what can we do better? So whether or not they still think that way, I don't, is debatable, I think. But I think it's, you know, we, with the smartphone, so my first smartphone was the first iPhone. And so I had looked at BlackBerries and, I can't even remember the name of them now, but some of the Windows ones and things like that. The Dash maybe is that one. I don't remember, but it was a while ago now. So, you know, and there was none that convinced me that, yeah, that makes sense. And I want to use that. It was all, you know, I guess to quote Steve Jobs, it was like the baby internet, you know, like on my phone. I didn't want any of that. I want the real internet. So it without Flash for a while, but you know, we had that issue, but you know, so I think, going back from there to, you know, they kind of, I still hope that's what they do, is look at things and say, you know, not how can we, I know everyone says they're just out for all the money, and I mean, they're a company, so yes, but, but also how can we take something that's not that great and make it better? And so I feel a lot like Tesla did the same thing, you know, with cars. So, you know, the same, not, and it's not perfect, but you know, it's the same sort of idea, is what can we take out of, you know, for lack of, you know, Samsung copied Apple, Apple copied Samsung, and they go back and forth all the time, you know, but usually when Apple implements something, it's usually done right. So I kind of hope they do that and then just kind of do that with all sorts of products, you know, but I think there's a point where you can do too much too. So I personally think they've got way too many products. So, you know, so I think I miss the old Steve Jobs days where there was the grid of four, if you know that thing.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it was, we've got a MacBook, a MacBook Pro, a Mac and a Mac Pro, or, you know, or an iMac, whatever, an iMac and an iMac Pro, whatever. But I miss with the days where it's, you walk in the store and you pick something. So I, that's when they were a technology company for sure.
Right.
Now, you know, when you have 500 watch band variants,
oh man,
that sort of thing, you know, that's sort of a lifestyle thing. So, you know, I guess it really just comes down to the product, you know, for me, same with, you know, different cases and all sorts of things.
I kind of missed the day where there was just one iPhone to rule them all. It made things a lot simpler. And I don't know, it to me, it was just like, it was more exclusivity about just having one single iPhone. Now you got an iPhone for like every color, price point, everything, like madness. But I don't know, maybe just the old fogey in me, I guess. But yeah, I miss the old days sometimes.
I said that to a friend, or I was talking, I think it was Steve Mosier, but anyway, talking to a friend recently, and he's, you know, and I said, if it were me, I'd go back to, you get a black one, you get a white one. Yep. You know, like, and then maybe we'll make a product red one for special edition. You know, like I miss those days. The bad part of that for us as content creators is, you know, there's not as much, so there's less to cover. So it's kind of a two-edged sword thing where, you know, there's four new iPhones. There's, well, that's four videos, you know, so, or two videos or whatever, however you want to do it. But, you know, so for me, it's kind of those things where I miss the simplicity because you could just go in. But on the other hand, people ask me, which one should I get? Because there's so many. So it's, you know, it's the old, I think it's the old part, you know, me and you, I don't know how old you are, but me and you being older.
There's a four in front of the first digit, I'll tell you that much.
Is there? Oh, okay. See, I wouldn't have thought that. So.
Yeah, 40, yep.
We'll see. We're both old tech people now.
I don't consider myself old, but I got you. Hey, you're not old. You're like 25 going on 26. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Shout out to those of y'all who are listening on audio only today. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive with me and my man Aaron from Zolo Tech. If you guys want to go check out his content, his YouTube link will be in the show notes. Definitely check him out. You will not be sorry. He made some of the best content on the platform in the tech space. Also, if you guys want to support or donate to the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes. It is not required, but anything that you are willing to do, anything that you're willing to contribute, excuse me, and greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review as it helps more people discover the podcast and to get the podcast out there so, you know, we can get a bigger following and things like that. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating or review. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. But until the next time, people, this your boy Viper, the man about tech. You know where to find me. So come back for more.